Acton Radio. Well, according to a recent report, the global cosmetic products market was valued at $52 billion United States and expected to reach $86.3 billion in 2024. The average woman will spend $43 on a shopping trip for makeup, and reports say that a woman will spend $15,000 alone on beauty products. This is apart from cosmetic procedures. This is in 12 months. So what are the cosmetic procedures to watch out for in 2019? There's a report that's just been released, and joining me now is cosmetic physician for Mirror Clinic, Dr. Andrew Clark. Dr. Andrew Clark, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Jenny. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, this is really interesting. It's always a great pleasure to have a chat with you about this. Now, the American Societies for Plastic Surgery have just released their major annual survey into cosmetic procedures. What are some of the findings?
Well, the survey was of all the plastic surgeons in the US who are a member of the society, and they're looking at the trends and where things are going for the next year. What they found is no surprise. The number of operations being done is going up. Mm-hmm. The number of non-surgical procedures is going up, and generally interest in the area is improving.
I think it's pretty obvious, really. I mean, the ageing process is nothing that really anybody's engaged or wanted to have happen in their lifetime, but it's part of life, I suppose, and to know that there are procedures that are non-surgical as well as surgical these days, I guess more and more are turning it for obvious reasons. What is your perception on that? Why do you think people are going to it more and more?
Well, I think the skill level is improving, the knowledge is improving, people are getting better results, the satisfaction rate is higher. When it comes to non-surgical treatments, so basically any treatment that doesn't involve an operation, doesn't involve cutting open the skin, there's a lot less downtime. It's usually less expensive, and it's usually a pretty quick and simple matter to get these treatments done.
Yeah. I think all those things you've mentioned definitely have made a lot of difference. The cost coming down and the longevity of the treatment and no downside was the big thing when it all first started. And a lot of people, would you agree, Andrew, perhaps were getting overdone?
Oh, absolutely. So I think when this type of treatment first started, people got quite excited that for a change they were actually seeing improvements. In the past, you'd see these wonderful adverts from the cosmetic and skincare companies and spend a lot of money, get your hopes up and be disappointed. when it comes to getting a few injections, they can be quite effective. Mm. And when you have a good result, people sometimes lose sight of the bigger picture and get too much stuff done.
Yeah, that's the big downside, I think. And I think a lot more people have realised that because you're not seeing it as much as you used to when it first was available. You see, plastic surgery is, of course, it's been around for a very long time. In the golden era of movie making in Hollywood, they were doing surgical work on women and men, weren't they?
Yes, so plastic surgery has been around a long time, and it started with the aim of improving the appearance and the function after major injury or major operations. And it wasn't long before we saw the application for more general anti-aging or improvement enhancing treatments.
How did this all come about, Andrew? I mean, the fillers and that sort of thing, now Botoxes and so forth. Who discovered all of this? And when it first started, was it considered very safe or a little bit experimental?
Oh, like any new treatment, it was not properly understood. The treatment that we now use for wrinkle relaxers comes from the Botox medication that you mentioned. And this was originally used to treat neurological conditions like spasms and twitches and muscles yeah. that were sort of stuck in contraction like spastic cerebral palsy. And it was the ophthalmologists in North America who sort of noticed that when they were treating the eye twitches that they improved the appearance of the wrinkles around the eyes, the crow's feet wrinkles, and that's how it all started.
That is interesting. From some things, other things grow. I mean, I believe that eyelashes, not that you're involved in that area, but the eyelash or growth came as a result of people putting drops in their eye, am I correct, for a particular glaucoma condition or something?
Yes, that's right. There is a glaucoma medication that one of the side effects is to improve the the length and strength and appearance of the eyelashes.
Okay.
And in the US, the exact same medication is packaged differently and sold for the cosmetic purpose of helping with eyelash growth.
Well, congratulations too. I've noticed that you were recently named as one of the ultimate cosmetic practitioners in the world. My gosh, that's amazing.
Yes, I was quite surprised and very humbled and very grateful for that recognition.
I think that's wonderful. Now, you know, this industry with the growth rate that it has, I mean, it seems to be a greater growth rate in this particular industry than any other that I've ever heard of. It's phenomenal.
Well, there's the factors that we talked about, but there's also, I think, a change in the culture where we're using social media a lot more. We're looking at our own pictures and other people's pictures a lot more than we used to.
Yeah.
And I think this is driving people to find out more about and perhaps go ahead and do more treatments.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. We're very conscious of appearances, or most people are these days. Tell me, is it still secretive to some people where they don't let their partner know that they're having cosmetic procedure?
Yes, it's interesting how cosmetic procedures are less taboo than they were. And most of my clients will admit that they'll tell their friends and they'll tell their sisters, but they won't necessarily tell their partner. I think people can be a little bit embarrassed to admit that they need to do something, and they're a bit worried about whether or not their partner will support it. and we definitely have ladies coming in and paying cash and making sure that we keep it all secret.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because, like you say, it's something that years ago you'd hide, but it was fairly obvious people, if they'd had surgery, was the case, and they'd try to keep that quiet. But today, it's sort of like getting your nails done or you get a tanning done. People go and get their heavy lines taken out of their face, which it just makes them feel that much better. Not necessarily overly glamorous, but just that much better.
Yeah, I think most people are doing it just because they want to feel as though they look a little bit fresher.
Yeah.
And just they don't want to change their look, but they do want to look less angry or less sad. Mm. These were actually the reasons that they were on top of the survey results that you mentioned about why people are getting things done.
Yeah. What about men, Andrew? I mean, they're probably hiding the fact if they are getting things done, like jowls removed or fat removal, because you can do that these days, and, you know, just a bit of a lift or the anger line in between their eyebrows removed. Are they sort of quite plentiful?
Yes. So the statistics show that the participation of men is increasing significantly. It's probably grown by 30 or 40%, the number of men who are doing this in the last few years. You're exactly right. The most common things are minor and subtle tweaks, getting rid of the strong frown lines that make people look too serious or angry,
yeah.
Helping define the masculine jawline to look a bit more stronger and a bit more youthful.
Yeah.
And these are done with dermal fillers or with fat dissolving injections.
Yeah.
So perhaps there's plenty of husbands and wives that are keeping it secret from each other.
I think it's quite funny, actually. Now, the thing is, too, I think the common sense has fallen into place, like you said earlier, in that, you know, people have cut down the extreme work that they have done, whether it be surgery or cosmetic procedures. And the worst look, I think, that ever came out were the young girls that were trying to get the Angelina Jolie lips and going ridiculous with that.
Look, I mean, that's still quite common, but it's definitely less popular than it was. Kylie Jenner herself did publicly announce that she'd had her lip fillers dissolved and she's gone back to a more modest lip volume. And I think most people agree that's a better look, but not every 22-year-old will agree with you.
No, very true. They've got their heart set on something, they'll just do it. And they'll probably laugh at it in 10 years' time. What about, can you explain to me the popularity of the large rear end look at the moment? You know, the butt implants and that sort of thing. Surely that's not here in Australia.
I am amused by it. I don't understand. It was not that long ago that ladies were terrified if anybody thought their butt looked big in a pair of jeans.
Exactly.
In the non-surgical point of view, we don't help with that sort of thing. It's done with an operation that's called a Brazilian butt lift. And worryingly, the American FDA announced recently that there was a higher risk of complications with that particular plastic surgery procedure than most others.
Yeah, no, it's pretty silly. But you're right there, with social media, the Kardashians have set trends, haven't they, with their look, their facial look as well as their body look, I suppose, with so many young women that want to follow in their footsteps and be famous as them. So we all have to be our own individual look, don't we?
Yes, I mean, they are setting these standards and getting the popularity about what they're doing, but I don't think they're thinking about the consequences of... Yeah. The role models that it ended up being.
Yeah, it is obviously tempting to try and look like somebody that you admire as far as their physical appearance goes. But once again, if you've got a face that can be enhanced and look good and still be yourself, that's definitely the way to go. Well, it's a promising path, I suppose, I guess, for people to take up, have these options out there for them and make them feel fantastic. Andrew, thank you very much indeed for telling us that today.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Okay, Dr. Andrew Clark, Mira Clinic Cosmetics.